All right, we're going to go ahead and get back to it. So our final presentation today is going to be from another tag team, both of whom are here today, Jennifer Burton and Julia Pennington with the University of Tampa, and they're going to be talking to us about using social media to market your agricultural research and extension programs.
Thank you all for being here. I thought I would start by talking a little bit about what social media is about, although this is the fourth presentation in the social media conference, so it's probably a little bit late for that. But some benefits is it's a great way to provide inexpensive access to key stakeholders, as well as provide a variety of ways to interact with your audience. But the real interesting thing about social media, if I were to log on to my Twitter or my Facebook or even my LinkedIn for that matter, I'm amazed at how much people are not using these tools to promote their professional side. I can log on right now and learn what all my friends' kids are being for Halloween or what rides they went on at the amusement parks this weekend. I can even learn which of my friends have had coffee this morning and which have not. But I don't learn much about what they do in their work. So that's what I want to talk about today. How can we use this tool to better market our professional sides? And so why is social media important? I've got a great video from a guy named Eric Qualman who wrote the book Socialnomics that really kind of drives home the importance and the value of these tools. Talking to you about a bunch of different social media tools, and Julie's going to be talking about a lot of examples used in our industry of people using them wisely. So the first tool that I want to talk about is LinkedIn. LinkedIn, the biggest problem I see there is that a lot of people effectively use it as a job search tool, and that is great. But if I'm connected with about 500 people on LinkedIn, and one of the things that I've noticed is once these people get jobs, they kind of fall off the LinkedIn planet. And there is just so much potential with this tool to network with others, promote what you're doing, and maybe you're not using it to get another job, but if you're not using this effectively, you're not going to get the next big promotion or the next biggest raise that you are going after. So it's a tremendous network, and it's a great place to really boast your professional accomplishments. People come here with a lot of time on their hands, and they're hungry for information. They're looking to gain a competitive advantage in their business and connect with like-minded people. So there's a lot of potential here to really brand yourself. And so with this, the main things you want to do here are you want to focus on building your profile, building a great network of people. There are many different ways to join groups and give you access to not just hundreds of thousands, but millions of people. If you're in sales, it's a great tool for searching for leads, and you can interact with others through posts and private messages as well as blogs.
Yes, she pulled this because she put this on the PowerPoint first. But the key is that doesn't tell you anything about me. My background is all ag. You would never know that. My first job out of college was an ag agriculturalist, extension agriculturalist. I was a county extension director. I then have done numerous ag jobs, including working for Pioneer and then DuPont. I was working at Pioneer before DuPont took over, then during the DuPont days, and I left before the Dow days. So LinkedIn, that verb, that little paragraph that says, tell me about yourself, that's critical. So if you read, I didn't hyperlink it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you guys are all welcome to take a look, but it says, I'm passionate about agribusiness. I'm passionate about agriculture. So get that verb going. The other thing is, I can now go in LinkedIn and find out, where was that researcher I used to really love working with in Africa? Oh, he's at Syngenta now, who's now, and where's the movement between companies? And so I use it quite a bit. I also have several closed loops from alumni groups and previous study groups, and I'm amazed who wants to join my closed loop. Well, I never really went to your school, but I really want to join your network. I always find that really funny. But really craft a nice profile. I hate that picture, but at least I don't have someone's hand on me. I tell my students, do not just kind of clip something out. Have someone take a photo, Photoshop it, do whatever you want to with it, but have a nice photo, you don't look like a stalker, and then you can go through and really create that. And I've had several job leads, not for jobs, but do you want to join this board, or you'd be the perfect fit for us office, so that's helpful.
So with LinkedIn, how people find you is by using the search tool, and the two areas of LinkedIn that are the most searched are your job title, so associate professor at the University of Tampa. And one of the things that I frequently tell people is try to use all the characters at your discretion in that job post to put in as many keywords as you want to be found for. So I would probably want to put marketing in there, or agriculture in there, or engagement in there, all the great stuff that you do. The second most frequently searched part, and it's awesome on your page, is the description that you're talking about. So when you use that area to tell your story and try to pack in as many words or descriptors that you want to be found for. Other things that you can do on your LinkedIn page is solicit your students, solicit your colleagues for recommendations, right? So when you pull up a page, it's going to show me exactly what everybody recommends me for. That's my personal brand. That's what I'm becoming known for.
And one of the things on that verbiage, look at other people's verbiage. I actually upped my verbiage because a friend of mine who's a Swiss agronomist had much better verbiage than I did, and I'm a marketing professor. So I said, I have to start working on this. Mm-hmm. Have someone else edit it. A couple good examples. Bill Northey does an excellent job on LinkedIn. He's always putting information out, and sometimes it might be just a quick, Iowa corn yields, you know, are exceeding expectations, continually linking. He does this on his Facebook. His Facebook is actually even better, but he has a professional Facebook and a personal Facebook. You know, if you want to know about his family, you go hang out on his wife Cindy's Facebook page. If you want to know about professional, you go to his page. And they're fun. It's fun to follow people a number of years. I knew him in high school. That just tells you how old I am. But it's fun to follow people over time, and then I can figure out, since I can look at his followers and see who else I know from Iowa, mm-hmm. which is fun. World Food Prize just ended last week. They do a nice job of talking about what's happened, who's won, what events are coming up. We'll keep going. So we got some other examples.
Oh. Well, the other thing I wanted to point out, too, about LinkedIn is that, especially as an academic, I felt when I first joined that it was for professionals. It didn't look anything like a university vita. And LinkedIn has evolved. So I will admit that my profile tends to read more like a corporate resume and less like an academic resume. But there is a field to add publications. And you have to kind of customize the template, but it's definitely worth doing. There's also a blogging tool on LinkedIn, which I like because I think blogging's real important, and that's what we're going to talk about next. But the blogging on LinkedIn, I feel, provides a great platform for me to reach a ton of professionals that I'm already connected with. Now, my blog is more of an outreach where I'm trying to reach people I'm not already connected with. But LinkedIn provides kind of a nice little structure for me to blog about my research, post my research, link to the actual research article with everybody that I've networked with professionally and academically for my 25-year professional career. So it's a great tool. Blogging, I think, is another great way to promote your extension programs as well as your agricultural research. And what's interesting about blog, I didn't know this until I did my research, it's a contraction of weblog. So basically it's a log in reverse chronological order of, you know, whatever it is you're interested in and want to share, usually organized around a particular topic. From a business perspective, it's incredibly effective at helping business generate leads, generate traffic to their website, and increase sales. And so for us academics, we can use it to better promote our own research and increase enrollments in our overall programs. So many different benefits of blogging. You know, first would be brand awareness. People are going to know about me and my research that maybe I wouldn't necessarily have met before. There's that opportunity to both sell directly and indirectly. It's a great sales support piece. So when your salespeople are going out with information about your academic programs, this is a great place to house it so people can find it online when they're not necessarily around a salesperson. A lot of companies will use it for research and development. When I'm developing my classes, I'll solicit comments on my blog. If people are expressing these concerns or questions on my blog, my students probably have the same questions. You can do a public relations spin, kind of give your own size of the story when there's a crisis. And of course, because your blog is updated so regularly, it increases search engine traffic. It's going to boost you up in the search engine rankings because of all of that. So when you're doing blogs, we've had some good blogging advice already with the letter F and how everybody's not going to read everything. Some things that you want to do is find your voice. Talk about something that only you would know about. Another tip is blog upside down. My husband's a writer and a blogger. He was trained in journalism school like 30 years ago. He still writes, you know, with, you know, the vague headline and no, doesn't get to the point till the end. You can't write like that anymore. We want to know the point immediately and then give us the supporting detail. Keep it short, and that's great because one of the biggest problems with blogging, and I have this problem, is that I can't find the time, I don't keep it regular enough, and I feel like I gotta put too much out there and be so perfect. But you keep it short, you can be imperfect. This is a place to let your hair down. Regularity is probably more important than being the perfect writing piece. You want to have it be entertaining. And here's the other thing. I have a blogging assignment in my course. And a lot of students feel that all you have to do in blogging is just put something out there, right? And when they put something out there, I'm the only one that ever reads it. So a really big important part of this is you got to promote your blog. So you need to have it on all of your literature. You need to have it on your email byline. You need to have it everywhere. Promote it on all your social media sites. And don't make it be an empty place. If you're just starting out, nobody wants to go to a restaurant that doesn't have anybody in it. So, you know, even if it's your mom or dad, you know, get them to comment. Let there be a conversation going so people don't feel like they've arrived at this empty vacuum. So with some examples.
Guy number two is actually a regular blogger for Farm Industry News. He's actually a farmer in northern, he's in Cresco area. I know some of you guys know where Cresco, Iowa is. But he would be the guy, if you gave an extension presentation, that would be in the back of the room. And he doesn't talk. He absorbs everything. He's an excellent blogger. For a while, Farm Industry News, the most searched item on their website was guy number two. And they said he felt kind of bad about it, but then he just kept on blogging. So he has multiple blogs happening. But he does a really good job of doing that. That might be something you don't have time to blog. Do you have a couple people or farmers that could they be the guest blogger today? Could they sit in the back of the room and write something up and start their voice coming out, and you can give them a platform for that. I forgot to mention on Bill Northey's LinkedIn profile, he does a really good job when he's traveling to link everybody in. So he was just in Kosovo, and as soon as you hear about, oh, a government, ag, Secretary of State, you know, Secretary of Ag going to Kosovo, you think, oh, okay, is that really educational? Daily, he would put out a blog saying, this is who we saw today. This is how agriculture is different. He backed it up with photos. So people actually would follow it just to find out things that they could learn about Kosovo. And Kosovo now, after this mission, they're going to the first embassy in the United States in Des Moines, Iowa. Okay, and maybe they're just trying to avoid Washington. So there might be multiple things going on there. But it was very well followed because every time you go to a conference, there's something you can blog about or have that information. But if you follow him, he's very funny. People follow him because he has a really strange sense of humor. Full disclosure, if he talks about the professor, that's me in some of his blogs. We're all hidden. So if we do stupid things, it's just the professor. But he does a great job, but he would be under the radar if I was doing an extension program today.
All right, so the largest social media tool is Facebook, so we ought to be using this to promote our research and programs. It's got over 2 billion active users, 890 million of them log on a daily basis. The average visit is 20 minutes. And so when it comes to promotion, you need to be where the eyeballs are, and the eyeballs are on Facebook. And so how can you succeed at Facebook? Some of these tips we've already heard. You need to have a compelling visual. You don't need too much text. You want to brand yourself by including your logo, a call to action. Make sure you're on people's mobile phones, and you want to have good links out to where people can get more information. Facebook is the place to tell a story. It's a rich place, lots of multimedia with Facebook Live. It's where you want to tell your story and get them to want to learn more. The thing about Facebook is a lot of people are using it wrong, and they think it's a free way to advertise. And so, if you're only getting 3 likes on one of your posts, it's because you're falling into this one problem with Facebook. There is so much content out there people are trying to share on Facebook that Facebook needs to prioritize what comes on their users' news feeds. And you aren't going to get everything that everybody you follow posts. And this has been a problem that's been getting worse for Facebook. So if your likes and your shares and your comments are going down, here's why. Organic reach basically means how many people are you reaching with one of your free posts. And since 2012, it's gone down from 16% to right now, it's actually, I've heard, about 3 to 5%. And so if you're trying to reach larger audiences, you're going to have to pay to reach them. EdgeRank is the algorithm that Facebook uses to determine what appears on people's news feeds. And as you could probably imagine if you logged on right now, that the type of content that you see are people that you interact with a lot from the past, people, basically the responses from people that have already seen the posts. So you need to gain traction on Facebook. You want to get a lot of likes and a lot of likes quickly for EdgeRank to work in your favor. They're also looking at, for your followers, what types of stuff do they like? Do they like images? Do they like videos? Do they like text? What kind of content are they into? They're looking at that. And then, of course, if you're getting a lot of angry faces and negative feedback, that's going to hurt you. So these are kind of ways to play the algorithm game. But if you really want mass audiences, you definitely have to pay for these Facebook ads.
On campus, we find out that students don't use Facebook a lot anymore, but they do look at for postings for what's happening. The agribusiness program at Texas A&M does a good job saying, hey, who's coming? And then they send a tweet out saying, the speaker's in here in an hour. Why? Because students forget. Then they have pretty good sign up, but they do multiple ways. Some of the areas you can spend more time, and here's for extension range specialists in California. This is what I'm doing today. This is what I'm posting. Here's some of the research that I just wrote, which I think is pretty good. Twitter. Oh, one thing, if we talk about social media and students, a disclaimer, I run an agribusiness course with Texas A&M to Swaziland in South Africa every year. The students have no electricity nor internet for 4 days. And most students say, you know what, that was so cool to sit around the campfire and talk. Well, they had nothing else they could do. But I do think it's a good way, if you can take students and get them away from their devices, it's a totally different, it opens up a totally different world.
All right, so Twitter, as we found out from earlier, is also a widely used tool to get the word out about our research and programs, but I will caution you that Twitter seems to be populated by a bunch of really hardcore users, but it's not everybody. It's a very small percentage of all of my students, but those that are there, they love it, and I understand why they love it. I love the shorter format of it. We've talked about a lot of really good tips. The biggest tip I would say on this list nobody's mentioned is this whole idea of trend jacking. So what trends on Twitter usually has nothing to do with you or me, our programs, our research, and what we sell. So if somehow we can wrap it all up into a story that people are talking about, whether it's the Super Bowl or the Grammys or whatever's trending today, that is the best way to reach large audiences on Twitter.
I have several examples. One, obviously, I do the same thing. I sit in the front, and I'll take some pictures of the screens and say, this is what I learned at the conference today. That's very simple. Follow people. You know, Rob Farley is a retired Monsanto scientist that basically started Roundup Ready or glyphosate. And so he has plenty of time to start figuring out what are the big news items. I used to be a vice president at eMarkets, which is an e-commerce company, and our most valuable thing our clients liked was that morning feed the president went through and just found articles that he liked. That was our client's thing that they liked the most. That wasn't even part of what we were selling them. They just liked someone else finding the articles. And if Rob Farley says this is legit, then I believe if there's something on glyphosate, he'll have it correct. Next one, hate mail. So how many people do scouting? Yeah, right? So this is actually my daughter's post. They went with the wheat board. They did a very formalized scouting path through North Dakota, and she found a couple good fields. And she goes, Mom, farmers are telling me they hated this. I must have did this wrong. Those yields are too high. I told her, yeah, that's a farmer. They want good yields, but you're not supposed to broadcast it. So I think it's a good time for extension to talk about, if she's an extension, she could have said, this is how we tested. This is how we scouted. You know, every year we go through this, but they forget. It's also interesting because what happens is, this is so much easier. Let me switch gears. When I was in extension, we didn't have this. So you had, you know, found a corn borer, I'm almost out of time. I could not share immediately versus I just found my first corn borer. This is how we scout. This is what I'm looking for. Okay, switch to the next one. How to get young people involved. If you're an extension, that's a problem. So you might have older people, how to get young people. The key is to get quotes from young people and stick them on your Twitter feed. So this is the World Food Prize, the next norm. Pictures of young people, a quote telling them, come, get involved, I will be there. Market to Market does, Mark Pearson does, has questions, and we already had questions. I think we're out of time, keep going.
Yeah, so what I wanted to conclude with is we don't have time to talk about Snapchat and Instagram. I think people are still trying to figure out how to use those to best promote professional interests. But if you want to reach large audiences, that is where your young people are. And with that, we will take any questions if anybody has them, and then we have time.
Really good. farmers don't get in and pick up for themselves either. So a lot of times they're watching, but they're not making that next call. And I think that's what's needed too. But like what Rob Farley, I mean, he's retired, but at least I agree with why retweet his post because I know they're legit.
Probably more of a rhetorical statement than a question, but does anybody have concern that every time we try to integrate into one of the social media, all the young people go somewhere else?
Yeah.
Because Facebook is for old people now, right? For me, it's for old people, it's not the students.
Well, welcome to life, because they don't want to be where we are.
I understand that, so then the question becomes, how do we encourage and engage with them without it being too sciencey and figure out a way to integrate into Snapchat or anything? I don't know the answer to it at all.
They had that same problem with the World Food Prize with the majority of participants. You know, I'm very young compared to the majority of participants. They're 70s and 80s. And so they hired interns to go through and to do whatever meant several different platforms. And then they go through a central source, but they're the ones making that the Snapchat to get that young people involved.
Yeah, we usually get young people in your organization to promote to the other young people using the tools that they know.
But you have to, we do. But you have to make sure that someone's monitoring what they're writing.
And have a strategy.
So using multi-platforms, what have you found to be the most effective management tool for you to monitor funds? Is it Hootsuite? Is it Google and Views?
I use Hootsuite, but I don't, it's mainly just because that's what I use. I don't know if it's the best tool out there, but it is a good tool.
Someone else might know. Is there anyone else that uses the suite to manage platforms?
We use Scrub Social.
Oh, I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's expensive though. It's not a free budget.
Right.
So,
and it is free.
Yeah, and every user's, like, for the quality of product, every user's about $150 a month. So, but if you have multiple accounts and you have like 5 accounts you're monitoring, you can pull in 5 reports at once instead of going to 5 accounts on Facebook.
And the analytics.
Yeah, all the analytics are there, and then you can post. We don't use the scheduling feature a lot because we have 5 teams that schedule on their own. But you can do that, and you can also tag tweets with campaigns and then analyze it that way. So that can be a cool thing. Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, sure.
So somebody said analytics. How is any university using this analytics to assess their faculty? Is anybody using
assessing faculty or assessing programs?
Either or, both. I mean, I don't know if when young people go up for associate professor, is something like their reach in social media going to be important? Is that ever going to be? They want to put metrics in bean counters, love numbers.
Right.
And I can generate some great numbers on social media. What does it mean? For every 10,000 views, I get a publication. Is that what that is?
If you don't have a publication, they don't
make it. No, I understand that. Yeah. But I'm just curious. I'm curious if anyone is seeing that their university is using some.
I mean, I'm going to. For our extension program, kind of judged on how active are you using social media, YouTube, Facebook, that sort of stuff. I don't know if there's necessarily check box between all the goal and scope that they're going to mark for that, but if you're not active, I personally stop.
Where are you?
Clemson State.
So, one more thing we have to check off before it's up for tenure. I just got tenure last year, so I'm glad that they did that anything else. So, yeah, that's always a concern. Oh, I was going to mention, we do use Snapchat at the university a lot. They'll snap pictures of the pool and say, what a great day to be in Tampa. And they'll share it with their friends up north, especially in the winter, and it disappears. It's perfect for that.
We need to get a picture for our Instagram and Facebook.
We can do it. We can do it. I'll never do it. Okay. We can tell another picture person. Thank you very much.
Thanks. All right. Thank you.